Amen. What a morning it's already been at Holland Chapel. It's so good to see you all here. Thank you for celebrating life with us today and for worshiping Jesus. How many of you back in the day had a catalog about like this and you circled toys in it? The Sears catalog or the JCPenney's catalog? Yes. I don't remember. What's that? You may have used it for more than a wish list. That's right. So that's interesting. We don't usually do banter back and forth between the preacher and the crowd. Okay. Luke, good luck next week, buddy. I started it. You finish it. So, yeah, I don't remember having one at home, but I can remember there being one at Grandma's house every year and the cousins fighting over it when we got there on Saturday night, and we would circle things and initial them to make sure everyone knew what was on our wish list. One of the things that I don't think about as a kid, though, but I thought about over the weekend was how in the world the mail trucks hauled all of those things because they were huge. How many of you have gotten all your Christmas list and Christmas shopping done? Anybody? Okay, I'm just going to tell you, no one raised their hand in the first service either, so good luck this week. It's going to be crowded out there. I, for one, am done. My wife told me, she said, Nick, I don't want anything this year, so I'm done. I'll let you know how that goes. My name is Nick, and I get to give you week three of our series, Wish List. And the fact is, many people treat prayer like a Christmas wish list. I want, I need, I got to have this, God. And it becomes us making God out to be like this genie in a bottle, which brings me to just two. I got two genie jokes this morning, two. And that's it, I promise. I heard about the man who was given one joke. He was given one wish from a genie, and he said, I would like a wife 30 years younger. Instantly, he was 90. Heard about another man who was given three wishes from a genie, and he said, I wish for a world with no lawyers. I don't personally have anything against lawyers, but this guy for some reason did. The genie said, done, you have no more wishes. And the man said, but you said three. The genie said, sue me. That's all of my jokes this morning. Thanks for putting up with me. But prayer is so much more than that. We would agree with that. Prayer is a conversation. And it's not a conversation with some make-believe character. It's a dialogue between you and the creator of the world. It's a dialogue between you and God Almighty. We have the ear of the Most High God. This morning, we're going to reference Exodus 32. You don't have to turn there. We're going to reference it a couple of times this morning. And in Exodus chapter 32, Moses is on top of the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And God tells him, Moses, go back down there. Essentially tells Moses what the Israelites have gotten into. And he says he's going to punish them. They begin to worship the golden calf. And Exodus 32:11 on your screen says that Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. Moses had a conversation with God in that moment. And it's so important to recognize that he says, the Lord, his God. What Moses is saying is, God, you are God and I am not, and I want to see you at work in this situation. He sought the favor of the Lord, his God, a conversation, a dialogue between Moses and his God. And prayer is not just, here's all I need, God, take care of it. As we talked about last week, it's not just giving God our wish list and saying, God, there it is, go do what you got to do, God. No, it is so much more than that. It's an opportunity, as Pastor Luke said last week, to tune our hearts to the heart of God. It's an opportunity for us to experience God's presence in that situation, not just to hand over all of our wants and our needs and what we need God to do, but to experience God. Moses, like we talked about last week, said, God, show me your glorious presence. Don't just fix my problem or fulfill my wish list. Let me draw near to you in this moment, God. So whatever it is that draws you to prayer, whatever it is that provokes you to prayer, use it more than just to give those needs and those wants and that wish list to God, but use it as an opportunity to tune your heart to God and let you see God's glorious presence. And when you do, prayer becomes so much more than just a wish list. It's literally life-changing. This morning, we're going to turn our attention to another catalyst for prayer. The last 2 weeks we've discussed different things that prompt us to pray, different things that are catalysts for our prayer life. Week one we talked about our wants and our needs causing us to go to the Lord in prayer. Last week we talked about our worries and our anxiety causing us to pray. And if we were honest, many of us probably admitted, yes, that's when I pray the most is when I'm worried and when I'm anxious. This morning we're going to talk about the fact that people provoke us to pray. People provoke us to pray. You may have heard the term intercessory prayer. It's a phrase that literally means praying for other people, praying on behalf of someone, standing in the gap. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the opportunity that we have to step in and pray on behalf of other people. Jesus not only made this possible by his death and his resurrection, but he demonstrated this idea to us by praying for us before he went to the cross. You know, oftentimes, and hopefully all the time, when we want to follow Christ, we look in Scripture and we say, okay, what did Jesus do? How can we imitate Christ in this situation? Well, John 17 is a perfect example of Jesus participating in intercessory prayer, praying for us. John 17, verse 20, Jesus said, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one. That's Jesus stepping in for you and I and praying on our behalf. Sometimes intercessory prayer is by request. I'm sure many hands will go up. How many of you have been asked, maybe even recently, will you please pray for me? Anybody been asked to pray for someone? Yes, we get that quite often, and it's a good thing. If we're honest, we may admit, though, that at times that prayer list gets a little long. I've been there, and you begin to say, oh, I got to remember this one, I got to remember that one, it becomes a little bit overwhelming even. Well, this morning, as we're talking about people provoking us to prayer, let me encourage you with this. Let me encourage you to tell you that you have the opportunity to be a part of God's miracles when somebody asks you to pray for them. It may seem like a daunting task to remember this one and remember this one and pray for this and pray for that, but you have an incredible opportunity to be a part of God's miracles. When I told my wife what the sermon was about this morning, she showed me the end of the book for Real Woman. We've had an incredible semester of growth groups here at Holland Chapel. A Real Woman is just an example of one of those. Better Man, a group of men met, probably over 30 men met. We had a growth group on spiritual gifts, a group of ladies meeting on the book of Ruth, and a group of men meeting on 1 and 2 Kings. And I just want to give a shout out to all those growth group leaders, those participants. Continue to lean in and to study God's Word and to see how you can better follow Him. But my wife, she pulled out the Real Woman book and she said, you won't believe this. This is how the book pretty much ends on this topic. And I'm going to use a quote from the Real Woman book on intercessory prayer. The book said, God uses willing mediators to work His miracles. God uses willing mediators to work His miracles. So when somebody asks you to pray, be encouraged. Don't just think, oh, it's another thing I got to remember. Take advantage of that opportunity to be a part of God's miracles in action. We read through prayer requests. We, being our staff, read through prayer requests each Monday. Those of you who fill out the online Connect card and give us prayer requests. And our genuine desire is for you to see a miracle in your life. May we be at Holland Chapel willing mediators that pray for other people, earnestly expecting to see God at work, to see a miracle. I want to give you three quick suggestions. This is not the sermon. This is just a side note for those of us who do get asked to pray for people, because I want you to be encouraged in this, and I don't want it to be a difficult task. I want to help you in this. Number one, don't wait to pray. Don't wait. Whether it's in person, whether it's on the phone, whether you send a text message and they've asked you to pray, stop and pray right then. This is not something you have to schedule for later in the day. If somebody asks you to pray for them, pray right then. Number two, write it down. You may be the prayer journal person, or you may just need reminders. This can look different as well. You don't have to do a full-blown prayer journal, although they're awesome. You may just need to write down that name on your calendar the next day and the next day and the next day to remember to pray for that person. And number three, follow up. This demonstrates care. At Holland Chapel, we talk about investing and inviting in people. Investing and inviting people. There's no better way to invest than to show you care by following up with that prayer request. If Clint asked me to pray for him, I should follow up the next day or the next week and say, hey, how's that going? What's God doing in your life? When you follow up, it's investing in that person and it's encouraging. And it can be encouraging for both the recipient of the prayer and the person doing the praying, because you get to hear the update on God's miracle. You get to hear what God's doing in that situation. And for the person being prayed for, it's encouraging to know that they're not in this alone. Many of us would admit that we're probably the one that's asked someone to pray for us. And we could agree that it's encouraging when somebody follows up with you. How many of you have been the one asking at some point in your life, probably everybody, will you please pray for me? How many of you have asked for prayer? I want to encourage you in this. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with asking someone to pray for you. In fact, it's a really good thing, because it's acknowledging that we're not God. It's acknowledging that I need God in this situation, that we need Him. If you didn't ever ask anybody to pray for you, what does that look like? That looks like you've got it all under control. Looks like I can handle this. But when you humbly say, hey, will you pray for me? I'm dealing with this. It's admitting that God is God and I am not. Also, it's allowing somebody the opportunity to be a part of that miracle. By asking somebody, will you please pray for me? It's opening up an opportunity for them to see God at work as well. So it's a good thing to ask for prayer. In fact, we see it in Scripture several times in Scripture. Heroes of our faith have asked for prayer in the book of Esther. Esther was made aware of about a plan to destroy her people. But for her to step in would mean risking her life by approaching the king. And we read in Esther chapter 4, in verse 15, Esther sends a reply to Mordecai. She says, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my maids will fast as you do. Now, this is not just strictly saying, don't eat food for me. Fasting was literally seeking God. And so she's saying, seek God for me for 3 days, and me and my friends are going to do the same thing. She's asking the whole nation to pray for her in this moment. Paul also understood the need to have someone pray for him. He knew how helpful intercessors could be to his ministry in Colossians chapter 4. Paul says this, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. This is why I'm here in chains. Listen to what he says. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Now, don't you think in the whole book, in the whole Bible, don't you think somebody who probably could say, I've got this one under control. Y'all just go over there. I'm going to go preach the gospel. He very easily could say, I've got this. Like, I can preach the sermon. I can preach about Jesus. But Paul humbly says, pray for me that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. He's admitting that he is not God and that he needs God's help, and he's asking someone else to be a part of that miracle. Sometimes prayer is requested, but sometimes we're provoked to pray because our hearts are tuned to God's, like Pastor Luke talked about last week. Sometimes we don't have to be asked to pray because God puts people on our hearts. We see people's needs. We want others to experience God's grace. And we begin to pray for God's will to be done, whether it's a family member or somebody you come across in the community or at school, and you see their need, and you're provoked because your heart is like that of God's, and you're provoked to pray for that person. I invite you to turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We don't always have to be asked to pray. In fact, we shouldn't have to be asked to pray, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writes, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede, there's that word, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. I started to jump straight to verse 4, but I thought we might need to be reminded to pray for all people. Verse 4, he says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. What Paul's saying here is that if people aren't a catalyst for you to pray, they should be. Paul says, if you look around and you're not provoked to prayer because of the world around you, then you should be provoked to pray for people. Back to Exodus 32, where Moses is seeking the favor of the Lord. The Israelites didn't ask Moses to pray for them. In fact, they didn't even know that he knew what was going on. God told Moses what was going on, and Moses seeks the favor of the Lord on the behalf of the Israelites. He sought God's favor anyway. They didn't ask for it. He cared for them. He wanted good for them. And throughout Scripture, we see lives changed and miracles happen because of prayer. After those 3 days, Queen Esther went in to see the king, and he received her. He granted her request, and he saved the entire nation of the Jews. Prayer works, and I'm convinced that it still works today. How many of you would agree? Prayer is powerful. Prayer works. I believe we saw answers to over 20 prayers this morning through Scripture, or through baptism, seeing the lives that are committed to following Jesus as parents and grandparents, and no doubt how many people prayed for those children, those teenagers, those adults to commit their life to Christ and follow Him in baptism. We saw answered prayer this morning. My family's been praying for my son. He was off at EMT school studying a book about the size of that Sears catalog. And we were praying that he would pass all those tests, and he spent his first night last night at the fire station on duty. So that's answered prayer. Holland Chapel has been praying that kids and student ministry would continue to thrive in spite of the leadership change this year in both ministries, and it's continued to thrive, as you can see by the children professing faith in Jesus this morning and the teenagers professing faith. And every week it seems that we're given a new high number, a new record attendance, more volunteers, and it's continuing to thrive, and that's answered to prayer. I was asking Chris Simmons, leader of our Celebrate Recovery, what prayers he's seen answered. And he was praying for Celebrate Recovery that there would be leadership steps taken, that people would volunteer for leadership and not just show up on Thursday nights, but they would get involved and be leaders. And he said 2 weeks ago, or whenever Thanksgiving was, they had about 15 people show up to serve and to volunteer to feed the apartment complex next door. But that's not the cool part. He said the best part was the conversation afterwards when they were all sitting around and they said, you know what, I used to be the one that was being served, and now I'm the one that wants to serve. And you know what that is, church? That's leadership steps. That's answered prayer. That's Chris seeing a miracle happen in that ministry. At Holland Chapel, we believe prayer makes a difference. I want to challenge you not to be surprised when you see a miracle. One of my favorite stories in Scripture is found in Acts chapter 12. If you would, turn there with me. In Acts chapter 12, the church, the Bible says, was earnestly praying to God for him being Peter. Peter had been put in prison. And here we see an example of intercessory prayer. The whole church was praying for Peter. And Peter had been put into prison, and they were praying, and the church was interceding on his behalf. Peter was miraculously released, and he goes to the house where the Bible says many people had gathered and were praying. They were still praying for Peter's release. They were praying on his behalf. And look at chapter 12 of Acts, verse 14. Actually, I'll back up and read 13. He knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." Verse 15. Now remember, these are the people who are earnestly praying for Peter's release. "You're out of your mind," they said. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. They weren't expecting their prayers to be answered that way. In verse 16, meanwhile, Peter's still knocking at the door. That's what I find so funny. Peter's still standing there knocking, and when they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. Don't be surprised when you see your prayers answered, when you witness a miracle, because prayer is powerful and it makes a difference. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Take that to the bank, church. That's the word of God. Prayer produces wonderful results. We've referenced Moses in Exodus 32 a couple of times. Last time, I want to go back to that story. God tells Moses that he is going to punish the Israelites. He says, go down there. Moses sought the Lord's favor. Exodus 32, 14 is the conclusion of this little story. The Bible says, then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster that he had threatened. Now, I decided to use that verse to demonstrate the power of prayer because it's powerful. It's a story where you see clearly Moses seeking the favor of the Lord. And then two verses later, the Lord relented and didn't bring on his people the disaster that he had threatened. And I knew in reading this that it could potentially get us sidetracked. And you might say, now, what do you mean by that, Nick? I don't see anything there that could sidetrack us. Well, your version of God's word may read that God changed his mind. And we go through this with the risk of that having you thinking, you know, mind blown for 5 minutes or trying to figure that out for the next 10 minutes or so. So let me just clearly say this. We know from the rest of Scripture that God is unchanging and unchangeable. We could spend a lot of time here, but I just want to point out one detail. In Exodus 32, the declaration of punishment that God places on the Israelites is conditional. It's not unconditional. God didn't say, I'm going to do this no matter what. In fact, verse 14 is our answer because God says, or it says, he did not bring on his people the disaster that he had threatened. And so we see in this passage an example of intercessory prayer changing circumstances. I love the way this pastor puts it, R.C. Sproul. He was a pastor in the late 1900s. He said this, prayer doesn't change God's mind, it changes things. Prayer matters. Prayer changes things. And people should provoke us to pray. When they do, we have the ear of the Almighty God. Essentially, intercessory prayer is placing one hand on those in need and the other hand on the only one powerful enough to meet that need. That's what we're called to do, church, to be willing mediators. To go to the Father on our friends and neighbors' behalf because prayer matters. I've never preached about prayer and not been convicted to share this particular story. So if you've heard it, please bear with me. But if not, I think it will make a powerful point. Every time I speak of prayer, I think about the young man, the soldier in the Civil War whose father and brother were both killed in battle at Gettysburg. And he thought of his mom and sister back home on the farm trying to handle things. And so his desire was to get a reprieve from the government to go home and help his mom. So he gets permission from his particular group of soldiers to go to the White House and ask permission. So he travels there. He gets to the gates of the White House. And he says, I need to speak to the president. I've got something to talk about that's very important. And the guard at the gate said, son, that's not going to happen. Said, we're in the middle of a war. You're not getting in here. Go back out on the battlefield where you belong. So the soldier, not knowing what to do, wanders a couple of blocks down the road, sits on a park bench, and just puts his head in his hands to try to think of his next step. Not long after that, a little boy comes by, and he sees this soldier just crying, weeping, distraught. And the little boy puts his arm around the soldier and says, sir, what's wrong? And the soldier, having no one else to talk to, bears his soul to this little boy, and he tells him all the problems, tells him what he wanted to do, tells him why he can't do it. And the little boy says, I think I might can help you. So the soldier, having no other options, says, okay, what you got? And he begins to walk. He says, follow me. And they walk a couple of blocks back to the White House. In fact, they walk past the gate, and the soldier thought, well, I guess the guard didn't notice us. I'm going to continue to follow. They get to the White House door, and the little boy goes in. And as they're walking the halls, the soldier thinks, I must be invisible. I don't understand why nobody's saying anything. I'm passing generals and sergeants, and this little boy seems to know where he's going, and I'm just going to continue to follow him. Now they get to this big, fancy door, and it's the Oval Office door. And to the soldier's surprise, the boy never even stops to knock. He just opens the door and walks right in. And that's when the soldier panics and he thinks he's in real trouble because now he's in for it. He looks across the office and he sees Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln and his Secretary of State are looking over this giant desk with battle plans unfolded and they're in serious conversation and the soldier begins to back out. And it's at that moment Abraham Lincoln looks up and he says, hi, son, how are you? And Todd Lincoln says, Daddy, this soldier needs to talk to you. And in that moment, they figured it out and got the issue solved because the son took the soldier to the father. Church, that's what we have an opportunity to do to our friends, for our friends, to be willing mediators to see God's miracles happen. Ephesians chapter 2 demonstrates this, describes this perfectly, what we've just talked about. He says, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. And now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. You say, what has Christ done for us? He's done exactly what Paul said that He's done. He's brought us from death, far from God, with no hope, no future. He's brought us to life, into a relationship with Him because of His death, burial, and resurrection. Because Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless sacrifice, died on the cross to pay for my sins and your sins. And His resurrection from the grave gives us hope of eternal life if we place our faith in Him. That's what we saw testimony of this morning through baptisms. I'm going to ask the band to come up because I think that what Jesus has done for us and our opportunity to pray on other people's behalf warrants a response. I think that we should respond. I think we should take action. It's not one of those things. Remember the three steps that I told you back when praying for people. The first one was don't wait. If we know somebody that needs to be prayed for, we should pray for it. And what better way to example that than to do it right after we hear it in a message this morning? Would you please stand as we talk about what these next couple of minutes are going to look like? I want to invite you after prayer in a moment to just come down front. Maybe you want to pray where you're at. Maybe you need to come down front and pray for the friend that's stuck in anxiety. Maybe you need to pray for the family member that this holiday season is just dealing with grief. Maybe you need to pray for that person that you know is all prayed out. They've been praying for something and praying for something and praying for something, and they don't seem to see any results, and they're just tired. Maybe you need to pray for that lost person that you know is just stuck in their sin, and they need to know Jesus. I'm going to give you a couple of other specifics this morning that if that didn't prick your heart, if nobody's on your mind, which I really doubt that we don't have somebody in our mind that needs prayer, but I'm going to give you a couple of other options here. Pastor Josh is going to be right down here, and he's going to be praying with a group of men. Any of you that want to come up and pray for those men that just graduated Better Man, that they would be the leaders in their household, that they would live out their faith, that they would put into practice the things that they've studied this semester. We also have a church member, a specific church member. All of us need prayer, and many of us have different family members that are ailing, but one particular church family member, Miss B. Williams, she's been in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and they actually called the family in a couple of weeks ago, and we're seeing little baby steps of improvement, but we believe that God works miracles, and we believe that God can heal her. And so one of our deacons, Brandon Kelly, is going to be right over here. And if you want to just come with Brandon and pray for Miss B to be healed this morning, that's an option for you. I want to ask you one more thing. I want to ask you, maybe you can't bring yourself to come down front, or you don't know exactly what else you can pray for, but you yourself need prayer. I want to ask you to give someone else the opportunity to see God at work. Ask somebody to pray for you. Just reach across the aisle, turn to the front or to the behind you or to the person next to you and say, would you just pray for me? This is what I'm going through. Give somebody else an opportunity to be a willing mediator. We're going to have pastors down front if you just need someone to pray with. My wife's going to be here if you're a lady and you want to come down and just pray to God for whatever has been burdening you. Let people provoke us to prayer, church, and let's be willing mediators with the incredible opportunity that we have to go to the Father on other people's behalves. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you for the lives that we have seen changed from little children to dads and moms. We pray that you would just bless them as they continue to explore what living for you looks like, as they continue to take next steps in following you. Well, thank you for the privilege that we have to pray to the Almighty God. May we be willing mediators. May we take advantage of the opportunity that you've given us to experience your power and your your amazing work in others' lives. And may we not be too proud to ask for prayer on our behalf. May we humble ourselves and recognize that we are not at God and we are not in control and we need other people to pray for us. Thank you for Jesus, for making this possible. And it's in His name that I pray. Amen.